Hi, this is Jalen for Dobbs, where tire buying is easy. At GoToDobbs.com, shop brands, sizes, pricing, and our amazing deals. With 40-plus locations, get same-day install. For tires, it's Dobbs.
For deals you can use, click on GoToDobbs.com now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jack Clark is with us now on the Celebrity Line on 101 ESPN. Jack, this is Randy Carricker. Brooke Grimsley is here. Danny Mack is here. And thanks for joining us. I know how much, first of all, Whitey meant to you. And I watched you watch him be inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2010. And I know this is a tough time for you. So we really appreciate you coming on with us, Jack.
Well, thanks for having me. You know, he's a wonderful man. Just really blessed to have known him. And you know what? To just call him a friend, you know, because that's what he was. He wasn't your manager, wasn't the skipper. He was the rat. That's the way we called him, you know. But he was not. He was not anything bigger. He didn't want. He was down at our level. We weren't had to go up to his level. We were just connected. Like, and I was really, really fortunate. I'm so lucky that he brought me over here from San Francisco, and I got a taste of winning and competitive and playing in nice weather and a team, an organization in the city that wants to win, which unfortunately I never experienced in San Francisco. So I was really fortunate, and I'll forever love that man. And, you know, hopefully he's again with his buddies, Stan Musial and Red and Jack Buck, you know, and Mickey Mantle, Casey Stengel, you know, all the ones that he was, Ted Williams, all his favorite guys. So he'll be definitely be missed, and I'll never forget him. And I was just fortunate to be able to come here and experience Whitey and the Whitey ball and the speed and playing with Ozzie and Templeton and her and Willie and Vince and Coxie and Forshee and Daryl Porter, some of the guys that aren't with us anymore. So it's been a few years. It's been 35 plus years, so it's been a while.
Jack, thank you so much for joining us again. And we were just discussing right before you came on about how he was really able to make players better. And you are an example of that. Coming here in St. Louis in 1985, how did he help you grow as a player?
Well, coming from San Francisco, again, I hate to keep going back to that, but we always lost and came in last place. That's when the Big Red Machine was going. You had the Dodgers there. Houston was good with J.R. Richard and Nolan Ryan. So everybody was better than we were, and we usually came in last place. And that organization never talked about winning. All they talked about is rebuilding in 3, 4, 5 years. And the first phone call I got from Lou Sussman when I was traded, which I never got a call saying from the Giants, the general manager, and they say that I had been traded. I heard it on the radio when I was taking my children to school that morning, preschool. So typical for the Giants organization, by the way. But, they got fog in their brains from, Kansas City Park. That's what happens there, man. It fogs your mental capacity. But, you know, first thing he said to me, let's go win a championship. And I actually, like, opened my eyes, like, I didn't say what, but I thought, like, what? I mean, the organization to do that, you know, because I was kind of brainwashed in the Giants way, you know. So I was like, this is going to be awesome. And then I get spring training, and then the newspaper, it says Whitey's going to be the first manager fired, and we're going to come in last place. And I was like, wait a minute, I just came from that for the last, I don't know how many years, you know. So, you know, not too far after that, I mean, I was a right fielder, so I was taking balls in the outfield, you know, infield and outfield out there. And after, I don't know, wasn't 3 or 4 days, he asked me, you know, if I'd be interested in moving over to first base so he wouldn't have to platoon the three of us. And I kind of thought, well, I'm not platooning. I didn't come here to platoon, you know. So he said, yeah, I know with the Giants, which is true, they in double A and in fall ball in Arizona, they wanted to make me a third baseman. So I played third base, and he knew that. Of course he did. And he said, you know, so that transition shouldn't be too difficult for you. And I still didn't want to do it because I liked playing the outfield. I liked throwing and showing off my arm and stuff. So But I said, okay, I'll give it a shot. I mean, he's asking me, and I just got here. So I said, sure, I'll give it a shot. I mean, I did play third. I mean, but, you know, some new things to learn. You got kind of stuck in your old ways. And he said, give it a shot. If you don't like it after a couple of weeks, I'll get it out. I'll get you out of there. This is spring training. So I'm going, what do I got to lose? It's spring training. I'll give it a shot. You know, I got to learn the plays and everything else. Because he had different cutoffs and everything. Like the first baseman had a cutoff from left field. And the third baseman had to cut off from center field and right field throws to the plate, you know. So it was a little different, butt plays and pickoffs and everything else. No big deal. And so after a couple of weeks, I was like, nah, I really don't like it. I've been in the outfield. I kind of like to just go. I don't want to start the season without playing any outfield or anything. He says, oh, no, you look great. Oh, they look like a natural. So I don't know. He says, tell you what, if you don't like it by the All-Star break, I'll get you out of there. And I was a little shocked at an All-Star break halfway through the season. I said, you know what, man, you know, you got Terry Pendleton out there and you guys won in 82. I've never been in a way. I'll do whatever you guys want me to do. I'll clean the toilets. I don't care. You know? That's kind of where I've been in the San Francisco. I've been in the toilet. So to answer your quick question is, you know, just start right from there, from that spot, how he changed me. And then, as I was there, I remember Ozzie coming to me and said, Jack, wait till you see this guy, Vince Coleman, because I hadn't seen him. He wasn't with us then. And I was like, oh, well, if Ozzie's saying something good about him. So when they brought him up, and it's like, oh, wait a minute now. Now we got another guy that's faster than all these other guys, you know. So I just fell into something the right time. And I had played in San Francisco and learned from Joe Morgan how he helped Tony Perez and Johnny Bench when he'd get on base. And just a Joe Morgan quick story. My first day in the big leagues when I got called up from AA, we're playing Cincinnati in Candlestick. It was a Wednesday. It was a day game. So Pete Rose got up, hit a line drive to first for an out. Then Joe Morgan got up, hit a line drive up the middle for a base hit. The very next pitch, he stole second. The very next pitch, this is what Johnny Bench hit, and Tony Perez got with Johnny Bench hit, stole second. The very next pitch, he stole third. And I was sitting by the bat rack kind of looking. That looked, you know, right down the third baseline, home plate to the third baseline. I was like, wow, stole two bases, got a base hit, you know. Johnny Bench is up. So I'm kind of watching Bench. I'm not really looking at third anymore. So the very next pitch, he steals home. He does a hook slide, and Milt May, the catcher, you know, tries to tag him, but he slides by him and, like, all in one motion, slides, hook slides, stands right up, runs into the dugout, you know? So he's got three stolen bases. He scored a run and got a base hit in the top of the first inning, and Johnny Bench never even had to swing the bat, you know? Well, he taught me what he did with Tony Perez and those guys and Johnny Bench as far as giving him the sign on first base, because it was an off-speed pitch. He would keep his hands on his knees. If it was a fastball, and then he would go on all the off-speed pitches. If it was a fastball, he would keep his hands on his knees. He would stand up and then go back down. That meant that he was, you know, he was going to stay there. So I talked that to these guys, and I mean, it just worked out perfect. You know, everybody was hungry and always hungry for that game within the game. Type situation, instead of just playing ABC, we wanted to get all the way through the whole alphabet, you know, all the way to the end. And I learned that from Joe, and hitting also some of the things he did as far as if he stood way up in the batter's box. He said, why do you stand up there so close? He said, well, Jack, if I hit it right down the line, it's a double. But if I stand in the back of the box and I hit it down the line, it's a double. If I stand up in the box and I hit it over the bag, it goes down the corner, that's a triple for him. I was like, so he's thinking about all these little things, him and Pete Rose. And so I was like, wow. So I took that stuff and brought it to St. Louis immediately from that season. And I just had the time of my life going to the ballpark every day and putting a uniform on with the history and everything. I was proud to be a Giant. There's a lot of history there. But there was no winning history in San Francisco and Candlestick. It was all back in New York. So when Mays was there and before they came out to California. So, you know, L.A., they went down to L.A. and, you know, Chavez Ravine and Vin Scully. And we went to San Francisco to Candlestick Park. And, you know, it was hot dog wrappers flying in front of your face and nobody in the stands. And kind of like Sacramento the other day with the Cardinals game, it was like 3,000 people. Well, try to imagine that in Candlestick with 80,000, holds 80,000 people because it's a football stadium and there's nobody there.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Jack,
I learned a lot from St. Louis and just Gussie Bus. It was just a wonderful place to come to work every day with Jack Buck and Red Shandies and Whitey just being the general there. He just left everybody alone. He managed the game. He managed his people individually. And I don't think he ever called me in his office or anybody else for a meeting or a talking to. He just, you won. You lost. He wasn't going out shaking people's hand when you won and everything. Get back in the dugout. Go home. Enjoy your family.
Well, we know how much he meant to you, and we thank you for coming on and sharing some thoughts about Whitey Herzog and those 80s teams. It was great to have you with us. Jack Clark, the former Cardinal slugger, with us on 101 ESPN.